We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray, let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the day.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, and it is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. The beautiful Tina Dobbs is over there running the iPad. And our guest this morning is Pastor Tim Patterson. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing wonderful. Good morning.
We are so glad you could join
us
this morning.
It's good to be here. It's good to be here. I'm enjoying Jesus. Y'all didn't get to hear the testimonies earlier. You might get to later, but we've been having a time this morning.
Amen. Already.
Already.
Already. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. And you can still post it to our Facebook page. And we will do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll get it posted shortly after the program is ended. Our sponsor for today is Barbara Dyson Ford, located right here in Elk City. If you would like to be put on the wheel for the blessing book for the month of May, all you have to do is like, share, and comment, done. And this month, the book is Seeing Beyond, Choosing to Look Past the Horizon by Gail McWilliams. And there's a foreword by Zig Ziglar, y'all. I think I covered it all. Would you please pray to start us out, sir?
Absolutely. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for your faithfulness. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you you take things that seem so hopeless and turn them. Lord, we are so grateful for your goodness and looking forward to your word today, speaking to our hearts, carrying us and ministering to those that are listening today and that will listen in the future. We ask that your will would be accomplished here today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I really dig in your title this morning, from pleading to praise.
Yes, from pleading to praise. And we'll be in Psalms 3 this morning. Our church has been going through the book of Psalms on Wednesday night, and so last night woke up and have done this with my church, this teaching with my church, but felt it prompted in my heart today once again, and we'll read through that psalm. It's only eight verses. It says, "Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God, Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone, thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord, thy blessing is upon thy people, Selah." Now, when David wrote this, you know, we talk about he said, "I laid me down and slept, I waited." And, you know, we could just think, well, that's pretty easy to do. I mean, you go home and go to bed, right? You know, he wasn't sleeping in his palace. He was running away from his own son at this point. Absalom had overthrown him, he was pretty much on the run. Some of his own soldiers had seemed to be loyal friends had turned had taken the side of Absalom. So, David, in the first couple verses, is writing to, he says, "How are they increased that trouble me?" Many are they that rise up against me. Anybody ever felt like that? Many of us, I'm sure, have felt that we're just, there's so much that's against us, and people are against us, or we just feel that there's so much turmoil, and there are people that have risen up against us and speaking against us, and sometimes and the chaos is in the home. Sometimes there's in the home it seems there's enemies, and sometimes that may not necessarily be the truth. It's just our perception of it. Especially I think for some, maybe teenagers, they feel like their parents are the enemy, right? That's their perception. But really the parents probably doing their best to guard their children. Perception isn't always reality. But here's David. And it wasn't that he was the teenager and his dad was having to deal with him and he felt like his dad wasn't. No, his son, had overthrown him. His son had overtaken. And, he says they've increased that trouble. There are many that have risen up against me. And he said, and many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. And, David Guzik said, it's probably not likely that the people that were saying there is no help for him in God were saying that God was unable to help him, but that God was unwilling to help him. In essence, they were saying in their hearts, David, y'all remember his sin with Bathsheba? He's getting what he deserved. But aren't you glad that's not God's mindset? Thank God God doesn't think like we think. Because I know I'm sure we've all thought it or said it. Well, you made your bed, lie down in it. That's karma, right? I don't believe in karma, just to be honest with you. But that's, we say things, people say things like this. And this is what people were saying was, there is no help. God is not going to help him. He's getting what he deserved. And maybe that's what your mindset is. Maybe that's where your mind has gone. Or you've even heard that said to you by somebody that says, well, you're getting what you deserve by your own decisions. That's not God's heart. Now, granted, there are, you do reap what you sow. There's no denying that. But does that mean God is unwilling to help you? No, absolutely not. And David breaks that mindset. In verse 3, he says, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. To think of a shield, I mean, if you're like me, Marvel Comics kind of fan. I think of a shield, I think of Captain America, right? But generally speaking, in the olden days, their shields were much larger. They would cover from head to toe, essentially. Later on, they went to the smaller shields to give more agility and things to the soldiers. But often, among the Persians and different things, they would have full body cover shields. And to think that this is, he says, thou, O Lord, are a shield for me. God, you don't just cover parts of me. You don't just take care of a few things in my life, but you protect me spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically. You are a shield for me. When the enemy has come in like a flood, you raise up a standard against it. How many times could we say that the Lord has fought for us? I love what Moses says about God, we'll come back to Psalm 3. Y'all just journey with me. When they go across that Red Sea, to come out on the other side, and the Egyptians attempting to do the same thing or drown in the Red Sea, you'll find later on in the writing where Moses makes a statement, and I wish I had the reference for you. I can't remember exactly where it's at there in the book of Exodus. But he said, our God is a God of war, or a man of war. I can't remember exactly his wording. Sometimes we paint such a picture of God, just he's up there just dulling the tulips out. And, he's God. It was his words. He spoke and there was light. He didn't have to do anything. He spoke it. Yet we mitigate and we downplay God's ability to help us, and downplay God's willingness to help us sometimes. And we think that God can only handle so much. I got news for you. God can't just handle a few of your things. Mm-hmm. God can handle you and all your baggage. And I love the fact that that's why he said casting all of your care upon him. He's got bigger shoulders than you do. And he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. My burden is easy. My burden is light, yes. And my yoke is easy, right? You know why it's easy? Because you're yoked up with him. You're not doing it alone. Man, I'll tell you, when you're one ox pulling by yourself, it's hard enough. But then, man, thank God for the farmer that said, you know what, let's yoke you up with another ox that will help you pull this thing. And you get yoked up together, and man, those oxen begin to work together, and you pull through there. That's how God works. And so when we look at God as our shield, he is our protector in all things. He fights for us. He's a barrier. I mean, think about it. Job, the devil told the Lord, you've built a hedge about him. I can't touch him. I mean, it's scriptural that God will be your shield. But not only is he our shield, but I love what David said. Here he is dealing with family problems, dealing with he has lost his job. He is no longer king. He has literally been fired, unemployed, overthrown. He is on the run. He's got a ragtag army. He's sleeping in the wilderness. He says, but you are my shield and the glory and the lifter of mine head. Think about that for a minute. The glory and the lifter of mine head. David, in another psalm, the psalmist wrote, and whether this psalm, for the life of me, I can't remember if it's David that wrote it. There's so many different authors in the book of Psalms. But one said, I lift mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. David understood where his help was coming from. And he said, you lift my head. No doubt David had read the stories of Joseph, who went from a pit to a palace to a prison. You know, he went from pit to Potiphar's house to prison once again to a palace. God lifted Joseph time and again. We find over and over again throughout Scripture that God is the glory and the lifter of our heads. You know, I think when we look at and David was essentially saying, when you lift my head, it's for your glory. And that's what it's all about. It's all about him getting the glory, isn't it? When God raises us up, it's for him to get the glory. The psalmist wrote and said, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit. Amen. And placed my feet upon the rock and established my goings and put a song in my mouth. Man, talk about lifting up. And for his glory, it is by his grace and for his glory that we are here today. And so when we look at him as the lifter up of our heads, can I just say, lift your head. Morning is coming. This is not the end of the story. In the grief and in the glory, still great is God's faithfulness. And this is really what David, I think, if he could hammer it home, was God is faithful even when things aren't going well in the home, even when relationships feel like they're on the rocks and they're breaking apart. Even in those moments, God remains faithful, and God is still your help. That what the enemy would say, that there is no help for him in God, God disproves it time and again, and we'll move into that in just a moment. And he said he's the glory and the lifter of my head, and then in verse 4, he says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me, out of his holy hill. Remember, we talked about pleading to praise. Here, David, in these first couple verses, he's calling out to God saying, man, I am in trouble. One preacher said, did you know God's in trouble? Did y'all know that? God's in trouble. Yeah, the Bible tells us that when I am in trouble, he is in the midst of it with me. And I can't remember what psalm he was quoting there, and I know that's not an exact quote, but man, what a shock value that is. God's in trouble. Well, it's because I'm in trouble. He's right there with me, and he's going to help me through it. But here's David's pleading. I'm in trouble. But Lord, I have confidence. He wasn't, in this moment in verse 3, he wasn't praying per se. He was making a declaration of faith as he was calling out to the Lord and talking to the Lord. He says, this is who you are. You're my shield, the glory and the lifter of my head. And because of that, I'm calling on you once again. I cried unto the Lord with my voice and he heard me. Man, there's some preaching right there. To think that God, the God of this universe, hears me when I call. If it matters to me, it matters to the Master. Don't underestimate God's willingness to hear your cry. You may think it's something so small and so minor to you. It may seem like that, but it's a big deal to you. And if it's a big deal to you, then it matters to Him. Could we just think about some instances in Scripture that maybe didn't seem like they were just the big? I mean, running out of wine at the wedding feast, I wouldn't think is that big of a deal, but maybe in that culture it might have been. I mean, it definitely would have been a status symbol or a blow to your status to have run out of wine. But in that moment, he met their need and he met their request. Don't underestimate the power of just asking God. I love what the author of Hebrews said when he said that we may come boldly before the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. He's not saying that we come arrogantly and say, hey God, yo, what's up? This is what I need. Help me out. Hook a brother up. That's not God's approach, and I'm sorry for the hood impersonation there. I loved what one of our professors taught us about that verse. He said, imagine, if you will, that I'm the only person within your ability to travel who has gasoline. I'm the only person that can meet your need. Are you going to come to me and say, hey, man, yo, how's it going? Hook me up with some gas and just come boldly and arrogantly to me and hand me a gas can and say, fill her up. No, you're not, because I'm the only one who can meet that need. No, we come confidently before him and we say, listen, you're the only one that has what I need. And I'm imploring, I'm asking, could I please have some gasoline? And because he knows he's the only one that has it, and that's his responsibility, and that's who he is. He is the gasoline mogul of your area. And he says, absolutely, here's the gasoline. We don't come to God arrogantly and demand of him anything, because he's God. Let us not forget who we're talking to. He is God. But because he is God, and he tells us, ask, seek, knock, he tells us to come before his throne of grace. We can do exactly what David did and say, I cried unto the Lord with my voice and he heard me. When you read in the Gospels, one man came to Jesus and he said, if thou will, you can make me whole. Well, I would rather somebody question my ability than my willingness. Who, if they were able, wouldn't try to make somebody whole, right? But he said, if you will. He knew he was able. And sometimes that's not our struggle. We know God is able. Our struggle is whether or not we can trust that he will, because it's us. We say it, and it's a great thing to say, I suppose, but you know, I know there's a lot of other needs out there that are bigger than mine, and you're right. But guess what? God's bigger than all of our needs. So why do we have to minimize our need? We don't have to. He's bigger than all of those things, and he can meet the need of cancer being healed. At the same time, he's meeting a financial need that doesn't seem that big to somebody else, but to somebody else, that $100 is a big deal. Or that $5 for gas to get to work is a big deal. God is able, and whether your need is cancer or whether your need is $5 to get to work, you can do what David did. I called on the Lord, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Notice, David was no longer on the throne. His son was. But David remembered that just because Absalom was on the throne didn't mean God was off of his. No matter what's going on in our world, no matter what's going on in our political realm, in our church realm, in your church leadership, whatever it might be, God is still on his throne, and he still hears the prayers from his holy hill. Go ahead and call on the Lord. So here he's pleading. He called on the Lord. He said he heard me, and I love this. In verse number 5, he said, I laid me down and slept. Now, you know, I felt prompted of this in out in the car. Sometimes we can be in our homes, have our security alarms set, and still not be at peace and can't sleep at night because of the anxiety and the fears that are troubling our minds and our hearts. Here's David. He's in a wilderness, on the run, ragtag band. Yet I don't think the trouble he was having of sleeping was his concern of the outward, of what was going on around him. There was so much turmoil on the inside that he had to deal with. There were some heart things. His heart was breaking, no doubt. I mean, whose heart wouldn't break when your son has done what his son has done? And yet, we oftentimes lie in bed, wide awake, can't sleep, no peace. The next morning we're exhausted, still in turmoil. But David, in his confidence, said, I laid me down and I slept. You know, when you give things over to the Lord and you really genuinely trust him with him, does that mean we just forget about him? No. But David didn't forget what was going on. How could he? But he knew that his God was faithful. And if we would just remember that when we go to bed at night, we can lay down and sleep. He said, I slept. I woke, for the Lord sustained me. Man, what confidence it is. Not only that God has heard us, but that God keeps us. Man, if we could just grab a hold of that in our hearts and minds, I wonder how much anxiety would be able to quail and be put under if we could just know how much. You know, sometimes we're anxious for our children and the future that they have. But, you know, somebody told us many years ago said, you know, as much as you love your children, just remember that God loves them even more than you do. Man, when I heard that, I knew I could trust God with my children. And talk about, I mean, do I still have concerns for my children? Absolutely, because I'm still the guardian. I'm still, God entrusted me with them. I still have my responsibilities. But where I fall short, God loves them even more than I do. And he'll make up the difference if I'll just trust him. I can trust God with my children. And to think that we can trust God in those things and that he sustains us. Remember David in verse 1 said, many are they increased that trouble me. Many are increased that trouble me. And, I mean, he was just, maybe, I don't know if he was afraid or not, but he was obviously aware, making an observation that I'm in trouble. There are a lot of things going against me right now. The problems are many. But in verse 6, there's a shift. You know, he observed it, saw where he was at, But in verse 6, he said, and I'll say this, and then we'll stop and do everything, and then we'll come back to the end. But in verse 6 there, he said, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Man, what a shift. From being a guy who, in verse 1, says, man, there are many. But in verse 6, if he knew Romans existed, if Romans would have existed then, he would have been quoting, if God be for me, who can be against me? If he would have known, you know, what the author of Hebrews was writing and talking about, I think actually one of the psalmists talked about it too, but talks about the relationship with God, and why should I fear what man would do unto me? Man, what a thought process. And so we've seen the pleading that's taken place, but we're starting to see a change of perspective. We'll finish up here in just a minute.
I have a praise report, y'all. Don't put your pom-poms down because God is not done.
Yes, amen.
So y'all have heard me talk about my bonus daughter who is in the process of some court hearings. And it's felony charges, possibly 10 years in prison. But God.
Yes.
But God.
Yes.
She has watched. I didn't know that they had watched this program. Watching this program, she reached out and said, I want what you got. And I'm like, my stinking thinking went straight to what I got you on. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Monica's thinking.
Yeah.
And she said, you're not angry no more. And I want that. Yeah. And I proceeded to tell her about the treasure in heaven.
Yes.
And Jesus is the key to unlock it. And nobody else can get your treasure but you. It's just yours.
Yeah.
God has it just for you. But the key to open your treasure is Jesus, accepting him. Mm-hmm. And she did that. And she got a lot of healing through some rehabs. She got spiritual healing that she really needed. And now she has given her heart to Jesus.
Yes.
She's given her heart to God.
Amen.
And she's been going to court. And yesterday, she had court yesterday. And in order to be approved for like a drug court, you have to have an assessment. Mm-hmm. And then you're given a score. And the score has to be within this range. Mm-hmm. She wasn't in the range. Mm-hmm. And in court yesterday, her attorney told her that she wasn't in the range for that. Her own attorney that's supposed to be for her told her that she was not eligible for that.
Right.
But let me tell you what God can do. The DA, you know, the DA, the one that is supposed to be against her, against her, stood up and told her, if you take a hair follicle, we will make a deal with you.
Yeah. Praise God.
You know, I'm just in awe this morning. I've been in awe all night. I'm not even going to lie.
Yes.
I've been in awe all night.
Yes.
And this morning.
Yes.
For her attorney that is hired to defend her and work for her stood up and said, no, we can't do it.
Yeah.
You're not eligible for this. And the one that is paid to be against her, to prosecute her. He is hired by the state and paid by the state to prosecute people.
Right. Yep.
He stood up and told her, take this test, do this hair follicle, and we will make a deal with you.
Yeah. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. God's so
only
good.
God.
Yes, only God
can touch the heart of someone who is paid to be against you. Mm-hmm. Only God can touch that heart and change it for your favor.
Yes, yes, yes. So true.
Just.
Yes. Amen.
Only God.
Yes.
Can do that.
Yes. Amen.
And we go next month. Don't forget. Okay, yes, sir. Don't forget. And her husband received his EAD to get employment in our country.
Praise God. Yeah.
My son-in-law is from India. And he was here on a tourist visa. And he applied months ago for his work visa.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, wonderful. God's so good.
And my prayer has been, Lord, show him who you are.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Show her who you are.
Yes.
Show him, Lord, who you are.
Right.
Your love and your faithfulness. Yeah. Show him, Lord.
Right.
And he did.
Yes.
And he is.
Yes.
And he will.
Yes. Amen.
If you have a family member, don't give in.
That's right.
And don't give up.
Yes.
Don't let doubt and unbelief come in. And don't allow fear.
Yeah.
Right. Don't.
Yeah.
Bow down to those things.
Right.
And when, you know, and I'm going to be honest, there was times that I was borderline bowing to those things.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then when I caught myself about, you know, it's like, oh, no, nope, nope, nope. Nuh-uh, we're not going there because my God is the living God.
Yes.
And he is faithful.
Yes, yes, that's right.
And, you know, the sweetest thing to me, Pastor Tim, is all he wants is our heart.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's all he wants is our whole heart.
Yep.
He don't want us to hide anything.
Mm-hmm.
He wants the good.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
The bad.
Yes.
And the ugly.
Yep.
He wants it all.
Yes.
Because only he can take all of that like clay and mold it into something beautiful.
Yes. That's right.
And then we have a responsibility and a choice. We have a choice. Mm-hmm. Are we going to take it and use it to glorify his name and build his kingdom? Mm-hmm. Or are we just going to sit on it, sit on it and look at it and talk about how pretty it is?
Right.
Yep. Oh, this is so pretty. Mm-hmm. I just love what God's doing. Nuh-uh. Let me tell you what God's doing. He is moving. He is alive.
Yes. Yes.
And he is working. Mm-hmm. Open your heart.
Yes.
Give him your whole heart. Let him move.
Yes. Amen.
Do you got any prayer requests?
I do. I also have a praise for my friend Alicia Smith. Her procedure to fix the brain aneurysm went well yesterday.
Yay.
She was having an uncomfortable night with a lot of pain in her arm from the IV meds. Mm. And then the two men that were injured in the refinery fire in Wynnewood, Wes Foster was supposed to have surgery yesterday, but it was pushed back because he had to be placed on temporary dialysis. Now they're concerned about his kidneys and his lungs, and he needs to be healthy enough to have the surgery to prevent infection.
Yes.